please step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 661. My name is Lisa Sheps. I am your host. I am joined by my co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello, Lisa Sheps.
Hello, Nicole Shiro. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. You guys need to stick around. We have lots to talk about. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Todo era tan hermoso en el baile. Los brazos y él siempre está ahí.
It is Wednesday, March 23rd, 2022. On the show today, we have Vortex Rep and Selfie! Exclamation point, the musical. And then later, we'll be talking to the folks over at Broadway Across America and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And of course, Nicole and I will talk about a lot of things with our news and our views of the world of theater in Austin, Chicago, New York, Detroit, and parts west. Stick around. It is so hard to fade out on this, but I must. I just wanted to keep listening.
I am just the whole, everything about this album, everything about all of it, it just, yeah, so beautiful.
Well, I was very excited about it. And of course, you know, you and I read the same things, but I was really hoping this did not fall on your radar because I was hoping to surprise you because I knew how you would love it. So that, of course, is the Antonio Banderas production of A Chorus Line in Espanol, which is currently playing in Madrid, scheduled to close sometime in April.
But they released a cast album.
They did. They released it. Thank you. And a video.
Bonus track and a video that goes with said bonus track, that the bonus track is on the album, that is just so stunning. It is with one Laura Benanti and Antonio Banderas. What I Did for Love, which I cannot say in Espanol. I'm sorry. What is it? Something Amore.
I don't know. I can look it up, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah. It's just so stunning.
Yeah. So it's beautiful. So the whole album is out in Spanish, and you can hear just by at the ballet how beautiful it is, and all of the songs are gorgeous and worthwhile getting the whole darn thing, not just a song or two.
Yeah, I agree. And at the ballet, so funny. That was the second one I was singing after I saw the first one. Just so beautiful.
Yeah,
just
very, very beautiful. There will be a link on Offstage and On Air to the video of which that Nicole is speaking of. You know, it'd be great if they brought that in, don't you think?
Oh, I think it would be spectacular. I wouldn't be able to get enough of it. I just would, yeah.
Would you say it's a spectacular spectacular?
Spectacular spectacular. I'd say it's one singular sensation.
Uno singular sensación.
Yes,
I just
exactly.
Made that up.
And I was just in my head going, what does it translate
yeah.
to?
Well, before I thank Kim Simpson, I do have to mention one other cast recording announcement, which is the new version of Assassins. It happened to come out on Stephen Sondheim's birthday, which was yesterday. All my troubles seem so far away.
Not really in this day and age.
oddly enough, you didn't hear a lot about Andrew Lloyd Webber's birthday, which is on the same day.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, but
it must be a spectacular day for composers.
Well, Stephen Sondheim is getting extra love these days since he just passed away.
Well, I mean, of course, yeah.
So, but it's interesting. This Assassin's Cast album is the third to be recorded, which is kind of unusual. But the cast on this, including Andrew Garfield, and others, is just pretty amazing. And we're going to hear a little bit of that at the end of the show. So, but we love our assassins.
We do love the assassins.
Speaking of Stephen Sondheim.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So that's beautiful. So I do want to backtrack and say thank you to Kim Simpson for another incredible international folk bazaar focusing on our dear friends in Ukraine as they battle unimaginable horrors going on over there. So Godspeed, God love to all of them. And, Kim just does such a wonderful job.
He is just so awesome at what he does. I agree. I get delighted and surprised each week by his choices.
Moi aussi. So,
and I like being delighted and surprised.
So. Me too. Lots of stuff to talk about. We do want to talk about a death in the theater family of Elizabeth McCann, formerly of McCann Nugent, who was a very famous producer in New York City. She was 90 years old. She did things, produced shows like Equus, Amadeus, Les Liaisons Dangereuses. She's had 5 Tony Awards, 60 Broadway productions, and one journalist called her Steel and Wit.
Ooh, I'd like to be called that.
Yeah, me too. And I just, when I looked at
what a really spectacular career, when you look at the shows you're like that she was attached to, it's like, whoa.
Really? And actually, I found out that as I was reading it, I was attached to one of those shows, which is The Elephant Man in 1979.
Yeah.
With Philip Angham. And we were doing that right at the same time that I did my production of The Elephant Man with Maxwell Caulfield and Juliet Mills.
I was about to say, you did it with the cool writer, if I remember correctly.
The
That's
what?
Right. He's the cool writer in Grease 2. Michelle Pfeiffer sings about him.
Oh, I did.
I want a cool writer.
This is going to surprise the heck out of you, but I've never seen Grease 2.
Guess well, he's the cool writer.
Cool. Well, and you know that on that show that I was on, The Elephant Man, they met and became a couple and have since gotten married and have been together for 20-some-odd years. Oh, 30-some-odd years, excuse me.
Wow, that's spectacular.
So she also produced the latest revival of Hair in 2009 that won all sorts of awards. And then she also had a very close...
Another musical I love.
Yeah, they did a great job with that. I did not realize this, but she had a very close relationship with Edward Albee, who in his later years of his life did a residency over at the University of Houston. She produced The Goat, or Who's Sylvia? And she also did... Off-Broadway productions of Three Tall Women, which played here a few years ago, and the play about the baby that I was in here about 20 years ago.
I was like, you did the play about the baby.
I did. I played the woman. So here's something that she said in 1981 that I like, that she talks about being a female producer. And it was both her and Nell Nugent, both female producers, were together. And they actually split up in the early 90s, I think. But she said this when asked about her being a female producer in New York. She said, sure, we're women, but you could look at it another way. Most of the men in theater business are Jewish, and I'm Irish Catholic. You could say, how the hell did an Irish Catholic or a New Jersey Protestant like Nell ever get in? So I sort of liked her take on that.
I agree.
The last show she did was Hangman back in 2020. It had previews, but it closed in previews due to the pandemic and never opened again.
Interesting.
Yeah. So the last thing she said, she talked about her attention to detail. And she said also in that same interview in 1981, she said, the Titanic probably sank because nobody ordered binoculars for the crow's nest.
Interesting.
A detail forgotten.
Yeah.
So we did have an opening and a closing all within the same week. And that, of course, is the Encore's version of The Life that we talked about a little bit last week. The reviews yeah. were mixed to not so good. And mainly, there, you know, the
I was like, are they back onto the show issues again, or was it performance-wise?
It was performance and directorial. It was really which this, of course, is Billy Porter. And it just in general, Encore took a little bit of heat or there was some discussion, and I'm still not sure where I sit on this. So Encore, if you remember, was created to show little-known shows in a historical light, so as they were back then. And right. now they've got a new mission, which is updating shows at the same time. So I'm kind of on the fence of whether I think that's a good or bad thing thing.
I get it, yeah.
Yeah, but this was Billy Porter's take on The Life, and this, is, of course, is about prostitution in Times Square in the 70s. And he did it in what Elizabeth Fincantieli of the New York Times said was its downfalling, is they added a narrator. So it was all done in flashback from a narrator's point of view. And they said that kind of watered it down to the point of hurting the production, as well as in certain times of the production, she felt that the production would be moving along and then the narrator would come out and set it back.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. They did change some of the, it really focuses on three sex workers in Times Square. They made one a transgender woman, which was not in the original. So there's a lot of updating that he did. And also one of the hits that Elizabeth Vincentelli said was that the orchestrations were really wonderful back in the original version, which happened, I believe, in the 80s or the early mm-hmm. 90s.
Early 90s, I think.
But the sampler, and I don't know, I got to find out his first name, did the orchestrations. She said, quote, "But sampler's formulaic R&B and funk-inflicted orchestrations and arrangements undermine the score's idiosyncrasies."
Oh.
So okay. That's that. And then there's a word here that I forgot to look up. I meant to, but let me see if you've heard of this word.
Okay. Probably not, but we'll try.
I'm going to guess it's pronounced reggae theater, but it's not reggae like the music, R-E-G-I-E, theater. It's a German word, and it is the practice of radically interpreting a play, musical, or opera. Which is what Encores is now doing as well.
And is it pronounced reggae?
I don't know. I did not look it up. This is my fault. I did not do it.
R-E-G-I-E?
R-E-G-I-E. Reggie, I don't know. So we'll look it up and we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, no. That's why I'm in my head like, Reggie? Yeah.
So the final paragraph of Vincentelli's review sort of talks about what I just talked about. And I'm just going to read it. She said, quote, "The traditionally archival-minded Encores has broadened its mission statement to include that the artists are reclaiming work for our time through their own personal lens." That's kind of what I was talking about, the new additional part of their mission.
Hmm.
I know.
Okay.
So that's that. Did you read about this birthday candles show?
I saw a quick thing on it, but I didn't really get into it. So I'm curious about it, and I'd like to hear
Deborah Messing.
Tell me about it, please.
Deborah Messing. It's a one-woman show.
She's everywhere.
It's currently previews in on Broadway. It opens April 10th, so we'll hear more about it. She's on Broadway. She plays a character that goes from age 17 to 107.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? It's like Benjamin Button's on a whole other level.
The other direction. but evidently she's making a cake, and you would think that they would find someone that like already knows cooking and baking, but no. Deborah Messing did not. As a matter of fact, she was working on stuff, and she tried her first cake, exploded.
Can you imagine that mess?
Because she put two cups of baking powder instead of two tablespoons.
Oh, my. Yeah, that's a science experiment.
Yep. So here's an interesting thing about Deborah Messing, which is mostly what this article was about. It was more of a take on Deborah Messing than anything else. Do you know what got her her love for theater?
No, I feel like I've heard this, but I don't remember. So I'd like to know. Please tell me.
She was taken to a production of Annie. And that's what did it.
I love it.
Yeah, I knew you would like that.
I was loving it.
Yeah. So Birthday Candles is by the playwright Noah Heidel. It premiered in Detroit in 2018. This production is a roundabout production. I believe it was set to go pre-pandemic, and of course it didn't. And it takes place in the kitchen of a middle-class home in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The character that Deborah Messing plays is Ernestine. She enters as a teenager, and we already said that 90 minutes later, she's over 100 years old.
Interesting.
And interestingly enough, Deborah Messing said she's never been 100 years old, so this was new for her.
Oh, wow. I mean, good for her.
Yeah. I agree. Oh my God, we only have 5 minutes. I got to do this.
Where are you going?
Well, I'm going to TikTok because listeners to our show may have heard that I've become my theater, Ground Floor Theater, had to get a TikTok account, and that has made me addicted to TikTok personally. And I saw this one thing by this guy named...
You could see my face because my face was like, oi, Lisa.
Well, okay. This guy named Lou Berger does this wonderful thing. So he's got a pianist himself. Well, he may be the pianist. There's three of them. I don't know who's who. So there's a pianist, and then there's one guy that knows the lyrics to Broadway duets and another guy that doesn't but sight reads music. So they sing the song, and the guy that knows the lyrics points to the other guy when he's supposed to sing. So I tried to find something that would be really... I started with Wicked, but that wasn't as recognizable at times. So here's Luck Be a Lady from... oh, my God. What's it called? Luck Be a Lady.
Guys and Dolls.
Guys and Dolls. Thank you.
Dolls and Dolls.
Here it is. Listen to this.
This is Luck Be a Lady.
And I know the words.
And I don't.
One, two, three.
They call you Lady Luck, but there is room for doubt. At times you have a very unladylike way of running out.
I'm kind of untrustworthy.
This the guy that doesn't know the lyrics.
I'm a sexy little minx. But if you gamble on me, I can promise you I'll win in a blink.
Luck be a lady tonight.
I am a lady tonight.
Lucky you've ever been a lady to begin with.
Lucky I'm Lady Night.
Okay, I think that's funny. There are a bunch of these to look at.
Now, here's what I want to know, just because you and I are both obsessed with klezmer music, and we've said that recently. Have you found klezmer on TikTok yet? That is your next assignment for next
I have
week
to look it up. I have not actually been searching things. I've just been letting it choose things for me.
Well, let's see. Watch it just appear, because the phones we're listening to us talk, and this will appear to you today. And I can't wait to get the new report of what you found next week.
There you go. Anyway, so that's TikTok. You can look up Lou Berger and see a lot of his stuff. The Broadway League has decided to go back to the old way of reporting Broadway grosses. So we get to be bored with looking at what every single show makes in any given week.
I mean, were you surprised at the one that made the money this week? Because I wasn't.
No, I wasn't either. So that, of course, was the Hugh Jackman Sutton Foster.
The Music Man.
Music Man, thank you. The Wells Fargo wagon is right there. And there's a video of the young man. I don't know the name of the boy who plays whatever his name is, singing Wells Fargo
Gary
wagon.
Gary Indiana, that guy, right? That
yeah, kid? Gary Indiana. Yeah. So
I can't remember his name either. Sorry.
I can't remember his name. So also, what do you think about the musical of Witches of Eastwick idea?
Well, you know, it's been in their idea for a long time. They've been wanting to work on it.
When I first heard
about it, I was like, eh. The more I think about it, I think it's more of a stage kind of production. And it, you with the right creative people on it, I think it could be really a good time. You're not going in to get some beat, meaning it's not like Casa Valentina or To Kill a Mockingbird, but you're going to go in and have a good time.
Yep, agreed.
And I think there'd be more to it than like King Kong, which was only about a puppet. You know,
it's true.
But I am still talking about that puppet.
Yes, you are. You have not stopped that and the full size regulation
boxing ring.
So we're out of time. So there are other things we're going to talk about. You can see those things on offstageonair.com. But I do want to end with this idea of the Dolly Parton musical. Did you see that article?
She's down with the whole musical, and she even said people to play it and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so she's she mentioned all, she didn't say it explicitly, but Kristen Chenoweth was thrown out there. And, you know, I've often said, and forgive me, Kristen, but I'm kind of down on her these days, but I think she's a perfect thing for it. She does mention when she was asked about it, she says she's missing a couple of things that are important to playing the role of Dolly Parton, but I think those things can happen with costuming and makeup.
I think those things can happen, and Kristen's turned it around, and I know you're going to play a song out here too, but we have another Dolly was just here this week, but her musical 9 to 5 is going to be on the Tuts season. It's the first theater to produce that. It's going on the tour. It's going on tour, and they're going to be one of the cities. Houston at Tuts has it on their season.
Well, yes, I am indeed.
The 9 to 5.
I am indeed going to play. We're going to go out with a 9 to 5, and that was another person that would have been really good and maybe have gotten snubbed by this, but Megan Hilty, who was in that musical.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. But again, Dolly said that she could do it. It might need to be done since she's got such a long career, a la Cher, with three. Dolly Parton herself said, it's going to take three people to play me.
I agree with her on that. I'm fascinated, and I can't wait because I think I've said it a long time. Where's the Dolly musical? So,
well, here we go. And it's on its way. So here we'll listen to a little bit of that, and then we will go into our interview with the Vortex rep, Selfie the Musical. We'll be right back.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen.
Well, here in the Zoom room, we're fortunate enough to have our, well, I'd like to call them family, our Vortex Repertory family. And we have the artistic director and director of the piece, Bonnie Cullum. Welcome back, Bonnie.
Thank you, Lisa.
And we have the writer of the show. I should say this is Selfie the Musical. Selfie: The Musical.
Selfie!
The Musical. Sorry. And we have the writer, Rembert Block. Hi, Rembert.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having us.
And I think you might be in town or you might be in Michigan. Surprised to find out you hadn't been on the show before. Scenic designer, Anne-Marie Gordon. Hi, Anne-Marie.
Hi, I am in town for this.
Lovely, lovely. Well, great. Rembert, tell us about the show, Selfie the Musical.
Well, this show was inspired by what I started seeing as an epidemic of people killing themselves off while taking selfies. And I just was sort of shocked by how many news reports I was starting to see about this. And it inspired a song, which suddenly I felt like could be a whole story. And it became a story that is about four people who've killed themselves taking selfies, and they've been waylaid in the bardo or purgatory by some God figures who really want to know what's going on with humans these days. What are these crazy humans up to with these selfies and this losing themselves for, you know, just taking a picture of yourself and trying to outdo everyone else? And it became kind of a metaphor for this way that we can sort of be seeking so much attention and feedback from the outside world that we actually lose the sense of ourselves and who we are and our grounding. So that's sort of how it all started.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the selfie, as ubiquitous as it is, it really sort of points to a bigger social happening, good or bad, depending on how you look at it, I suppose.
Exactly. I think that this is sort of almost like, I think of it sometimes as like a little bit of a kaleidoscopic look at the topic. You know, it's not, selfies aren't all bad, of course, or good, or, you know, we all have to look at ourselves and reflect and put ourselves out there in the world. And so it's almost like a meditation on that subject with a lot of laughter.
Laughter is fun. One would think with a title like Selfie the Musical, there's going to be a lot of laughter.
Yes.
Even though, as you describe it, it sounds a little bit heavy.
Well, it's interesting. It is, I think, thought-provoking, and some of those thoughts might be sort of heavy, but the look at it and the style of the show is very whimsical and fun. There's a lot of dancing. There are obviously a lot of songs, and there's a sweetness about it too, somehow, just about a sweetness that we're all human. And, you know, we have our hubristic moments, and then we have our, you know, our foibles and the way we kind of crash down to earth like Icarus when we try to fly too close to the sun.
Damn that Icarus. And Bonnie, as artistic director of the Vortex and the director of this piece, I mean, you were set to do this prior to the pandemic and we're picking it up. So I'm curious as to what about this piece moved you to bring it into the Vortex repertory, as you will. And for you to direct it again, because you're not directing every single piece so much anymore, I don't think.
No, it's been a long wait on this one. We were about to do it just when the lockdown happened. So I'm so grateful to be able to bring it to life now. And I love the music. I love the concept of the show. And I love the style in which Rembert has created it. So I've been really trying to shape it into this very theatrical work that, I mean, you know, when the characters are ugly selfie girl, dude face, and chasing sunsets husband and wife, that you're not in your normal, you're not in your normative reality. You're definitely.
Wait a second. One of the characters' names is Ugly Selfie Girl.
Yes.
And did you get my permission to use that? I love those character names. Sorry. Yeah,
when I very first considered these characters and heard the songs, and really, I'm so excited to get to work with a live band. It's been a number of years since I've gotten to direct with a live band, and all the things that I love, being in the rehearsal room with the actors, and bringing Anne Marie out of retirement to realize the scenic design that she did a couple of years ago.
Well, that's a perfect segue over to Anne Marie. I'd love to hear about the design concept, and without giving anything away, because you don't want to lose that aha moment as people walk in. But tell us a little bit about the scenic design and your approach to it.
Well, you know, I went, of course, with the music and talking with concept, and there was a bit of the script that goes with it, and I like the idea that it had these kind of dark snippets, but not overwhelmingly dark. And so what I tried to do with the vision of it is kind of go a weird retro, like what was there before, you know, you couldn't carry your phones away, you know, you had cameras. And so I kind of, this idea flashed in my head about the postcards you send, wish you were here kind of thing. You know, where you have this like sunset from Arizona and on the back, you write, wish you were here, this kind of thing. And yep. Anyway, I thought that could be humorous to mix it with this art style called vaporwave that's around the 80s, you know, when computers, they started doing graphics, things started really shifting over. And it's like Bonnie says, I tried to be as kind of whimsical about it as possible. And I think that adds to the kind of the tilted, crazy kind of, you know, strange gods, you know, looking at these humans doing their thing and falling and kind of messing up, so to speak, and looking at the whole idea of who are you and who you present to people, but done in a way that is both reflective, but you can laugh about it. And so I find it, I found it just awesome. And the music is just awesome.
Wonderful. It sounds great. I cannot wait to see it. I don't know that I've ever seen a set that you've put together that I haven't liked. So you've set the bar pretty high. So I'll report back.
Oh, thank you.
And I was about to ask about the instrumentation, but I see that, remember, you are actually playing the show. Is that true?
That is true, yes. I am playing the accordion, and I brought my band from New York, and they are just arriving. So we have Jeff Hudgens on the saxophone. We have my cousin Russell Alderson playing bass, and our friend Jagoda, who plays the drums.
Awesome. Well, I also noticed here that part of the band that it's and it's when it's saying the instrumentation, it also has vocals of the band. Is the band using backing vocals, or do they sometimes take lead?
The band sometimes takes the lead, and sometimes we'll be doing backing vocals, and sometimes it will just be the actors singing the songs, which is really such a thrill. It's been a really long time since I've written music and had other people without me singing it. And it's really such a delight to hear. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to be really interesting to play as they sing. So that's kind of actually a new experience.
Awesome. And Bonnie, tell us about the cast and any other key players you'd like to mention.
Yeah. Allegra Jade Fox and Trey Deason, they were in the cast 2 years ago. And then we have new cast members, Aaron Geddes and Keyshawn Castle. They're all doing a fantastic job with these characters who, you know, we want to sort of feel sorry for them because they have these tragic deaths. But as we learn more about them, they're much more multidimensional than just people who made a bad mistake. So I think it's really fun. All of what the actors are bringing to it, not only their acting, but their musicality and the dance. And the choreography is by Sandy Donzica. I really, really love the choreography. I think it adds a lot of spice to the show.
Wonderful. And we know the challenge for Anne Marie and you and everybody, you know, the bands tend up to take up a lot of real estate, and your stage is not huge. So it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing how you approach all that as a scenic designer, as a director, and how that's all going to fit together.
Yeah, well, we've put the band in the clouds. So.
Oh, okay.
There you go. The band.
There you go.
The band has gone into another dimension.
Wonderful. And so we are coming out of our COVID haze here, but what are your COVID restrictions? What are you currently, and I realize it changes on a day-to-day basis, but currently what are you doing as far as COVID mitigation?
We are sticking with Broadway standards. So right now it's vaccination and mask required in the theater. That's the plan for now until things change.
Okay, wonderful. And tell us about when the show opens and where people can get information.
It opens on April 1st, April Fools, and it runs through Easter on the 17th of April, so a 3-week run. We do have a preview on the 31st, so I'm super excited to welcome people back into the vortex.
And yeah, it's gonna be great
to have that communal experience of the theater. We're really, really, really psyched to see everybody.
And share your website with folks.
And that is vortexrep.org. That's where you can find the information and ticket information.
And of course, people can come early and enjoy a lovely dinner at Patrice's and have a cocktail at the Butterfly Bar, if they so choose, if they want to. It's up to them.
Yes, absolutely.
You can't force them to do it.
No, you can have a complete experience if you wish.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show. I look forward to seeing it. That's it. I'm just happy theater's back.
Thank you so much for having us.
Looking forward to seeing you there, Lisa.
Not beautiful enough. Rules don't apply to me. Not special enough. Get away with anything. Not beautiful enough. Rules don't apply to me. Not special enough.
I'm just going to let this song play in the background for just a little bit. I didn't set it up beforehand, but this is a piece of music from Selfie the Musical. I'm just going to bring the volume up for just another second.
Is it something you are? Is it something you do?
Seems fun and spacey.
It does. I was about to say, I was mesmerized. I was all into it. I actually was standing up and grooving.
Standing up and grooving is good. So Flash, I have an update.
Lisa, update with Lisa today on off stage and on the air.
Here's an update. I'm going to turn the volume up on my computer, and I'm going to play. Oh, that was the brightness, not the volume. And now I'm going to play this thing, hopefully, if it works, and put the microphone closer to it. Here it is.
Regia Theater.
Okay.
And according to Wikipedia, it is indeed as it says. It literally means in German, director's theater, and it is the modern practice of allowing a director freedom in devising the way a given opera or play is staged, so that the creator's original specific intention or stage directions can be changed. And it goes on. There's a whole Wikipedia page about it.
Interesting.
Yeah, there you go. We learned that's very common. I'm surprised that term is not more well known.
Well, I mean, it all makes sense, being that German is our sister language and stuff.
Well, that's true, kind of. I mean, it is true. English is a Germanic language. And you just sent me something during this last thing, which I think is amazing. CODA, the movie CODA, which actually stands for Children of Deaf Adults, and is up for Academy Awards, is being made into a musical by Deaf West.
I know. And I meant to send it earlier when we were on the break, and I was like, oh, I didn't send it. I got to send it now. This is just so cool.
Yeah, so we'll talk more about that, I think, next week, because that sounds very, very exciting.
Yeah, I'm hoping there'll be some more info to learn about it in the next week.
Yep. We only have a few minutes, but I did want to highlight some of the stuff that's going on locally. And I don't know that we're going to be able to get them on the show, but opening tomorrow night at Ground Floor Theater is Penfold Theater's production of Amadeus, directed by the incredible Liz Fisher, with an all-star cast and creative team. And it looks pretty amazing. It's not your father's Amadeus.
No, I did you get to see some of it with them moving into the theater? Have you watched
any? Yeah, they're in our theater. So I've been watching a little bit. It's a very modern take on it. They've got some original composed music based on Mozart's music. And it's going to be very different. I was fortunate enough to be able to see the original cast on Broadway back in the 90s. I think it was 91
oh, wow.
or 92. And of course, there's the film. And in both of those cases, they are using Mozart from the day and Salieri from the day. And this is all updated. You know what they use? They used Regia Theater. They've used Regia Theater on this.
I heard you. They did Regia Theater. Michael Moray did the music.
Yep. And it is done.
It's Amadeus, but in a hip hop.
It's done in a hip hop fashion, and it's got, you know, they're using a lot of samples. And Liz actually very graciously just sat and walked me through a lot of it yesterday, and I listened to it. It was really, really wonderful. It's going to be interesting.
Cool stuff.
And they open tomorrow night. And another thing that, you know, we don't talk
about. That would be, as Peggy Lee likes to say, mañana, mañana.
Exactly. Exactly. And one of the things that we don't talk about enough on the show, and we really should, we used to a lot, sort of looking at the Austin Opera as well as Ballet Austin. And Ballet Austin has a very interesting show that they're about to open called, I got to bring it up, Her Story. And it is three female choreographies doing three ballets. Jennifer Hart's Dream Songs, Amy Seiwert's Traveling Alone, and I know I'm not going to pronounce this right, Thich Nhat Hanh. Oh, that's the name of it. This is by Jennifer Archibald, and it's called The Suffering of One is the Suffering of the Other. And the pictures of it look pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't go to see enough ballet, do you?
No, I was just talking about I don't go to see enough dance, and I do love the dance. And when I do, I'm always, it's so emotional. But I am in awe of people who photograph dance to be able to catch fluid and movement like that. It's just fascinating.
It's pretty amazing. And those that light it is are pretty amazing. And I was just speaking to former guest of the show, Ev Lunning, who is also in Amadeus, who's been doing a lot of performing in Austin Opera.
Oh, I love it. We were just talking about how they're actors in the opera. We've talked about that a few times.
Well, no, he's singing.
Oh, he is, because Ev can do everything. He's like a Hugh Jackman.
Ev can do everything. So I asked him, I said, I did not realize you were a classically trained singer. And he said, I made myself a classically.
Okay, that just makes me smile.
That's very Ev-loving.
Mm-hmm.
I just as a segue into our next guest, which is Charlie and the Charlie Factory. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. We had the joy of interviewing the woman who plays Verica Salt, and I didn't write her name down. So I have to go look it up. It's Santorini, I believe, is her last name. And we talked about it. So I went, obviously we pre-recorded the interview, but I saw the show last night. And I have to say that the Oompa Loompas worth the ticket right there. The way they did the Oompa Loompas was very clever.
Angela Palladini.
I knew you'd look it up. But the, Oompa Loompas were.
That's what I found clever when I, originally, I was like, this is just very cleverly done. Because you wonder, how will they do it all?
Yep. And it's very reminiscent of Shrek the Musical and how they handled the, what's his name? The king. Or the soon-to-be king. I forgot his character's name. But it's reminiscent of that, but I believe it's more clever.
I'm in the same, I'm on that.
Yeah. So I'll just leave it at that. So with that, we're going to hear some underwriting announcements, and then we're going to go right into our interview with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I love it. We had Verica Salt. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I guess. Yes. I'm going to say yes. So I'm going to say goodbye to you, Miss Nicole Shiro.
All right, then, Miss Lisa.
Okay. Folks, just hang on. We're going to listen to these underwriting announcements and come right back and listen to Verica Salt. Here we go.
Sugar, my honey, honey, Nicole Shiro, you are my candy girl.
You are mine, but I feel like you had a lot of sugar today.
I always have a lot of sugar.
Have you been to the factory?
You mean the chocolate factory?
I feel like you've been there. Seen Willy Wonka himself.
You and I are going. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory at Bass Concert Hall. And we are fortunate enough to have Angela Palladini here with us. Angela is here with us, and she plays Verica Salt in the current production, the second national tour of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory at the Bass Concert Hall. Welcome, Angela.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Hello.
We are so happy to have you here. I have to say that many times when we have people on the show, we're talking about shows that I know, but I know nothing about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory other than Willy Wonka and the movie that came out. So this is a musical that is, as folks are listening to this, at Bass Concert Hall right now. Tell us about the show.
Yes. So the show is a lot of fun. You will experience a world of pure imagination right before your eyes. It is loosely based off of the 1971 Gene Wilder film, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. There are elements, though, from Roald Dahl's book. So this actually started off as a novel from him, and that's really where it originated. So a lot of the nuances and things that are incorporated into our production, our musical of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, are both a bit from the movie, but also really relying heavily on the book.
Awesome. I love that Roald Dahl.
It sounds fascinating. So I am of a certain age that I never saw Willy Wonka as a child. I saw it much later as an adult. And you got to love Gene Wilder.
Yes.
And this sounds like a lot of fun. And again, not knowing anything about the character, but I'm guessing your character, Veruca, dances a lot.
She does dance a lot. So she is a very spoiled, rotten brat. She's set from Russia.
Sorry, and... was this a show that was based on Nicole's life?
Stop. She's a salty, fun one. I love it.
Yeah, she's playing her is amazing. But she thinks she is like the prima ballerina, and she's not. She thinks she is all that in a bag of chips, and she's not. She's actually has her father wrapped around her finger, and anything she says goes. And if anyone tells, she's never actually heard no in her life. So she's really bratty. And personally, as an actor, for me, this is my first time that I've ever had an opportunity to play a villain. And so that's been a really big challenge for me as an artist and as an actor. And I'm absolutely loving it because it's something that's so out of my comfort zone when I initially booked the role back in 2019. And yeah, I'm having a blast doing it. She doesn't get old at all to play. But I'm sure that the people that I'm on stage with, as far as her being so bratty, probably gets a little bit old.
So for those of us that know the movie, this is the girl that eats the blue bubble gum.
No, actually, that's Violet Beauregard.
That's Violet.
Yes.
Violet's turning Violet.
Yes. Violet's turning Violet.
You're right.
In the 1971 film, she is the I Want a Golden Goose.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah. She's bratty. That what a fun character to play.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to see it. I will. We're recording this a week prior, but I will be in the audience on one of those nights. I think Tuesday night. So for Amazing. The sake of our audience here, I saw it last night. I loved it. It was great.
Yay!
Best thing I ever saw.
Let's hope we live up to your expectations.
Travel in your time machine.
So you've actually been traveling with this for a while because there's actually been two second national tours, pre-COVID and post-COVID, and you were on both of them.
Correct.
So tell us about, were you on tour in March of 2020? And where were you?
Yes.
Tell us about when you found out about that.
Well, we were actually in a rehearsal at the theater. We were in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Back to the mitten.
Are you crazy? That's again, it's right here.
So we were in Grand Rapids at the Betsy DeVos Center. And we did not know that it was going to be our final performance, like many other productions, both on Broadway and both on national tours. And we did not actually find out that we thought it was just going to be for a couple of weeks. Again, like all of the Broadway productions, like all of the other national tours, come to find out it was a little bit over 18 months later that we were coming back. So it was obviously challenging. And that being said, it really, I think, brought, at least for myself, I can speak to, I will never ever take, not that I ever did, but I'll never take for granted being on stage ever again. And it's truly one of those things that like, it really does help kind of shape shift your perspective on life and what you're doing and why you're doing it. And I've always done it for the love of the craft. I've been dancing since I was 5 years old and I'm not that age anymore. So I clearly love what I do. And despite anything else that's happening in like personal life, whatever, like the fact that we get to tell this story every night is such a gift. And I think that was that idea and that principle was just only heightened by the fact that we were without it for so long. And we were like one of the last industries to come back. So I feel very, very grateful. It actually makes me emotional talking about it because it was very challenging, but we all we knew that we were going to come back. And that's kind of like this, it's also part of our show is that hope and that magic that does actually exist in real life. And sometimes we can get so bogged down that we lose sight of that. And so it's kind of ironic and full circle that this is the exact story that we get to share with our audiences every evening.
Yeah, well, that's great. And, you know, we all saw that what it felt like, you know, via YouTube, lots of YouTubes of first rehearsals of shows as they came back. Did your cast stay kind of intact from?
Yeah, we have. There was about 70% of us that returned.
Wow.
And we've had, and all of our new additions are wonderful. We miss our former ones very dearly. But that's the beauty, is that it's a family, and it's family, whether they're with us or they're not, they're off doing the next big thing. So, yeah.
It can't be that good because Nicole and I are not in it.
You know what? When we're in Austin, I mean.
Very, yep, exactly.
Don't give her an opening. Don't do that.
I mean, why not, right?
I'll be there. I'm sitting in row J, seat 121. Just call me up. So you are not only are you a performer, but you are a choreographer.
Yes, I do that as well. Yeah, I coach children for Broadway shows. That is my side hustle when I am not on stage. And I love it with every ounce of my being. I love working with children. I love seeing like what our next generation has to offer. What I always say is I'm really glad that I won't be auditioning with them. Because
there's a lot. I tell it, so lady. Amazing.
So I'm very grateful for that. But no, they're all very inspiring. And I also always say that they teach me more than I think they do as a teacher.
Of course.
And getting the opportunity to choreograph for them and get to know all of them very individually is a really special, very intimate experience that is so cool to see them start from one aspect and then have them grow as an artist. It's wonderful to watch their journey.
It's pretty amazing. We talk on the show a lot about the importance of arts education and making sure that our young ones take experience from what art gives you and gives back. So have you been to Austin before?
I have, and I love Austin, Texas. I'm so excited.
What are you looking forward to seeing, doing, or eating while you are here?
Oh, my God. The food scene is so good. I lived in Portland, Oregon for about 2 years, and so everyone's like, Portland and Austin are very similar.
Similar.
When I visited, though, I have a few friends that were at Ballet Austin that have been there for years. Some of them have retired. So I spent a bit of time there. The food there is so good. Everything is so fresh. The Mexican food's incredible. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited to be performing there, and that we're there for an entire week is so, so exciting. What else? I just love walking around. I love it there so much. I love it.
Well, we can't wait to see you. And, you know,
it's wildflower time. So you see the wildflowers on the highway, the bluebonnets right now.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm so excited.
There you go. Well, great. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you. I'm looking forward to the show. Last night was amazing.
Yay!
There was a kid sitting next to me that kept throwing popcorn at me. It was terrible. But even despite that, I enjoyed the show. We really do appreciate you coming on the show with us.
And, Thank you.
I haven't seen it. So I look forward to seeing you. I look forward to seeing you in the show last night.
Thank you so much for coming to see the show. And thank you for having me on your show.
Great.
Thank you.
Well, Angela Palladini is in the current production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory at Bass Concert Hall, from Tuesday, March 22nd, yesterday, I've got to look it up, the 27th. For more information, austin.broadway.com.
The root consult, the debutante. She's always screaming, I want, I want. Do you think her jetés will still look cute as she put up a raise?
Oh, well, that was a wonderful interview. So happy to see it. You've done it again. You've created yourself another hour block of time that you've spent with me and Nicole. I have some exciting news for next week. We have live guests in the studio, actual real people for the first time in 2 years. It'll be really, really great. It's the folks from Alchemy Theater, and they will be here with me, two of them anyway, in the studio, hopefully for the entire show. So we can
chat and work with them. Remember, you can see things that we talked about at offstageonair.com with all the links to the show. We've got Texas Music Mixtape up here with DJ Mark, who has got me handcuffed and tied away from the microphone so that he can get it. But I'm taking hold of the microphone for just another minute more. He cannot have it. But we will go away with, as I promised, from the current Broadway, the off-Broadway production of Assassins, The Ballad of Gâteau, and so just enjoy it. And DJ Mark will be back up next, and then Nicole and I and our guests will talk to you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Here you go.
Come all ye Christians and learn from a sinner, Charlie Gâteau. Bound and determined, he'd wind up a winner. Charlie had dreams that he wouldn't let go. Said.